welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map, and today my guest is Joe Allipat, CEO of LionGuard. Last week, LionGuard, a Houston-based software-as-a-service company with IT solutions, closed a $17 million Series B fundraising round. Joe and I discuss fundraising during a pandemic, as well as other challenges and opportunities COVID-19 has meant for his company and the IT industry. Joe, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Natalie. It's good to be here.
So I want to talk to you about LionGuard, your company you started. You are CEO. You've co-founded the company with Vincent Tran. Tell me about the product and kind of the solution LionGuard's technology is solving.
Yes. So, you know, the story around LionGuard really, you know, comes back to the experience that Vincent and I had in running our previous business, which was an IT service provider that managed into large and mid-sized and small businesses. And through that experience, you know, we, you know, went through the 2000 to, you know, about 2014 time era where we saw a dramatic change in the IT environment that we were managing. And, you know, we did an absolutely horrible job of saying no to our customers when they asked for help. Because, you know, we saw opportunities. And so that, you know, was awesome to drive up our revenue. We also learned a lot through that process and saw how complex it was to manage all of this. And, you know, I like to joke, I lost most of my hair, you know, during that process. And when we, you know, sold the business and went on, you know, in, you know, past 2014, Vincent and I decided to found LionGuard. And we said, okay, we want to solve this problem that we faced when we were managing such complexity in IT. And it really, you know, comes down to the fact that, you know, the IT departments, especially the IT service providers that are managing across multiple customers, it could be 25, 50, or hundreds of customers, they are struggling to manage across so much complexity because the environment they're managing continues to change. We see it today with what's happening, you know, in the environment with work from home. So many folks are, you know, buying into these video conference services and various techniques to collaborate, and they're implementing all of these new things. And so when an IT team has to manage while the ground is moving underneath them, you know, they're responsible for managing all of this infrastructure. Our platform makes that easier because what we do is we you know, level up the visibility that these operators have into being able to see into all of these various systems and to manage them so that they can document, audit, secure those systems in a continuous basis without any human intervention. And that's amazing because it saves them such a great deal of effort and really allows them to really dig in and provide a high value for their users, for their end customers.
Well, I love that you bring up kind of how COVID-19 and working from home has affected your, you know, business. Have you had to, how has it been for you? Have you had to make, you know, changes to anything within LionGuard? And at the same time, what have you heard from your clients who are, you know, operating at this very unprecedented time?
Yeah, good question, Natalie. The, you know, the first thing for our own business, we were operating already in a, you know, very highly remote capable type way. Fortunately, we, you know, implemented, you know, a high degree of collaboration solutions, video conferencing. We already had a degree of folks that were remote. So for us, the shift, which I just got off a company meeting, you know, earlier today, you know, I was just applauding, you know, how the team just executed and made this change seamless for our customers. And so, you know, the work continues. We're able to keep operating. Of course, we want to see each other more readily and make it more personal. But, you know, we have to, you know, rely on video right now. And also, you know, we find new engaging ways to stay in touch with each other. Now, at the same time, you know, we've also seen our customers, these IT service providers, which, you know, are also known as managed service providers. We call them MSPs for short. They are working with their customers who are working remotely. At the same time, they're also working remotely. So you can see how complex this is. You know, when what you're managing is already fairly complex, being limited in being able to meet with your end customers or go on site, really what happens is the two things in particular have risen up as of importance. Number one, being more capable remotely, being able to do more while not being able to necessarily go on site. This is something that our, you know, product, our platform really does well, is to make our customers so much more capable on a remote basis, and particularly in increasing the visibility. And so we've got, you know, our customers who are using our platform as the first way to understand a new customer's environment, to discover what's out there. And then the number two thing that we've also seen is that that security is top of mind for our customers and their customers. It's so important to them because we're in this environment where, you know, risk is looked at more readily. So, you know, and change is happening at a high degree. So security has risen up in priority. And at the same time, we're highlighting how we're helping in securing all of this complexity for our customers with our platform.
Great. And despite kind of facing these challenges, a bit of exciting news that came out last week, which, you know, just personally, it had been a hot minute since I got to write a story about a Houston startup closing a fundraising round, but that's exactly what I got to do with LionGuard. You closed a $17 million Series B. So tell me a little bit about that. And I guess let's start with the process of fundraising in a time of COVID-19.
Yeah, so we're excited, really excited about you know, completing our Series B, and you know, Updated Partners led that round. And really, the process for us with the Series B was much like our seed stage and our Series A round, where we chose to communicate early and keep in touch with the investment community. So this is something I learned from our advisors and the community in Houston that has been around us and supporting us, is that, you know, to communicate early, to share progress, and, you know, so that when you get to the point where you're looking for an investment, it is not a fresh start. It's, you know, just a continuation of that conversation. And so for us with this Series B, you know, we started the process, you know, in 2019. And just started, you know, feeling out what was going on out there, who was interested, who would be aligned with what was going on with our customers, and how we were solving a huge problem for them. And so one of the important things for us is, you know, working with investors that truly did understand that our problem space is important, and our customers, these managed service providers, are in a, you know, mission critical role. So, you know, number one, having that, you know, in place allowed us to, you know, go through this process while, you know, this pandemic was ensuing, which, you know, I won't tell you, it was definitely challenging to see the news, you know, and see things developing while you're trying to raise. It's a very, you know, I would say challenging and interesting moment that I think will warrant a nice chapter in the LionGuard book. In the future. And so for us, what really helped us through that process was finding a partner that saw the true value of what we were providing, and saw that what we were doing in IT with technology, enabling these service providers to help these businesses is mission critical. It's, you know, the U.S. government and governments around the world, you know, term these services as business critical and essential. And so highlighting that, we refer to those as tailwinds that really go into, you know, why it is that, you know, what we're doing is important. And so that was helpful for us during the fundraising process. But we, you know, we really had to look inwardly and communicate around those value propositions carefully, because we were being asked those questions. You know, does this fundamentally change something in our business model? And it doesn't. It makes it, the technology even more important. As most of us know, we're all working remotely. And so we had to, you know, dig in and highlight all of those things and showcase them.
Yeah, it sounds like on one hand, the pandemic kind of posed these challenges for LionGuard, but at the same time, maybe even presented some opportunities to kind of really prove the technology's kind of use for your clients and for the potential new clients that you're working on.
Totally agree. And it was it helps us, you know, really dig in and focus in on the use cases for our solution even more tightly, So, you know, I like to say, you know, you don't want to be tone deaf, you know, when there's, you know, this type of a crisis is happening out there. And, you know, there's good business happening. There's a lot of folks that are, you know, out there looking to get things done. And how do we, you know, move the ship forward, and how do we, you know, support our customers and then our customers' customers? So it's really, you know, just thinking about that and thinking about the overall economy and how, you know, we're playing that, you know, building block in terms of supporting all of this happening through technology.
So moving forward, just closing this round, where is that money going toward, and what kind of does this allow to happen as you continue to grow the company?
Yeah, so with UpData Partners, who led the round, and, you know, we had several other investors, you know, during that selection process, you know, we were asked that question. And, you know, as we got to know UpData Partners, something interesting, you know, worth a note is that, you know, the HX Venture Fund actually invested in UpData Partners, which was a really unique tie into Houston. And, you know, the exciting part about that is, you know, during our, you know, selection process, that was a topic that came up along with many other things. And as well as, well, what are we going to use all these, you know, funds for? And so for us, the, you know, the purpose for, you know, raising this money is really to advance our growth, accelerate what we've done with our platform, to continue to execute on our mission and really serve our customers at a higher degree. So that means, you know, help, growing our account management team, growing our, what we call our partner success team, because we call our customers partners, and really then also investing in our engineering and product teams, and obviously getting the word out, you know, to let more folks know about LionGuard and the value that we're providing. So this is where we're focused on, and this is really a runway for us, you know, to, you know, for the next, you know, 2 to 3 years to really help us execute on that vision.
Yeah. And for a little bit of context for listeners, you know, the HX Venture Fund is a fund of funds, you know, raising money to invest in VCs across the country, and in hopes that that money kind of starts, comes back to Houston startups, which it did in this case. So it's very interesting to see that kind of concept being proved. And I want to ask kind of from your experience, how did that relationship between the HX Venture Fund, UpData Partners, and you kind of pan out?
Yeah. So when you go through a you know, selection process and, you know, partnering with an investor that's going to be, you know, with you for a long period of time, it's, you know, there's so many things that you have to keep in mind. And so, you know, we got down and we put the comparison list together, and, you know, one of the factors that was very, very unique and interesting with UpData is that the HX Venture Fund had a relationship with UpData, and, you know, there was an investment done there through this fund of funds. And, you know, that model for, you know, supporting, you know, investment groups that then will come back and invest in, you know, Houston companies is part of that model. And, you know, it should be noted that both Vincent and I, you know, grew up in Houston. You know, so we're you know, big fans of Houston. You know, when we started in the early days of the company, you know, we were at Station Houston. We still are, you know, office, you know, right next to there, you know, through the ION. And, you know, for us, it's important to see that, you know, tie-in and loop back. And so that was one of the factors that really went into this, and really was an interesting, unique twist to UpData Partners being in alignment with us, along with so many other things that they bring to the table.
Well, that segues very nicely to something I want to ask you, because, you know, with the company being founded a few years ago, you've kind of seen Houston grow as an innovation ecosystem with all of the different startup development organizations that have kind of grown with the ecosystem. So what's your experience been, I mean, as a founder, seeing Houston evolve in this way, and kind of where do you see the city being at now?
Yeah, so I'm, you know, what I'm seeing is that, you know, the waves are hitting the shore for, you know, Houston with regards to so much activity happening with these new businesses. And I really, it's not around the fact that this wasn't happening already. The concept was just wasn't as dense and communicated about. And so I'm proud of seeing all of this activity happening here locally, where, you know, we are seeing more awareness. You know, you just see it with the number of co-working spaces that came about, you know, even in the last couple of years, that allow us to all connect with each other. And so for us, you know, being part of that community and, you know, in engaging with that community, this is how we were able to bring on, you know, some amazing talent onto our team as well. But this is where we also learn. So I'm excited to, you know, see what happens next with Houston, with, you know, everything that's going on in the you know, in Houston, in the focus on startups, around innovation, around really, you know, fostering their growth. Because Houston's always been an entrepreneurial city, and you know, this is just this next stage. And for me, it's the technology side that excites me even more, to see, you know, technology companies as well really succeeding, because there's so much good business happening in Houston. So I want to see that happening as well. So we're happy to see our progress as well as supporting that.
I wonder if I could ask, kind of on the other side of the spectrum, is there something as a founder that's challenging, you know, to have a growing startup in Houston, or something maybe even lacking that you've noticed in the innovation ecosystem? I just like to see that perspective and people I interview to see if what is the most challenging thing of being based here in Houston. And it might not even be the biggest challenge you have, but I wonder what comes to mind.
Number one, it's really just driving awareness. And that's, you know, I talked about it earlier. It's up to the, you know, the CEO, as well as, you know, the leadership within the company to continue to drive awareness and beat the drum around what the business, is doing, and, you know, the, you know, ripple effect and, you know, tie-ins, to the local community, as well as reaching beyond the bounds of the city. And so for us, you know, we actually have a global customer base, right? We have customers, you know, from here to, you know, Canada to Australia to Europe. And that doesn't happen overnight. And what we have to do is make sure that locally we're driving awareness around what's happening here, but also reaching past the boundaries of Houston, because we are, you know, we're in a new world. We're so well connected, you know, with the community, with the larger world community. And so with that in mind, you know, when it was about capital raising, when it was about, you know, getting new customers, it meant that, you know, we really had to start with our roots here and then use our network to then go, you know, out. And so many of our strong relationships that we have today started from here and started through our network in Houston and then went outbound. So that would be my advice to those that are, you know, kicking off their business or looking to hit some major milestones, is to really think through, how can I leverage the network that I have here to allow me to then push further out, you know, past the boundaries of this, you know, of Houston, you know, to a national level or a global level.
Yeah, I wonder if your clients are partners, as you call them, do they skew toward one industry or the other? And has that changed over time?
So our customers, you know, really represent the larger business economy, because they're providing IT services, these managed service providers, for every industry, whether it's manufacturing, whether it's healthcare, retail, you know, service, you name it, up and down the stack. So for us, even from the very beginning, we worked with these IT service providers that, you know, weren't necessarily vertical focused in any one vertical. And along the way, what we have started to work with is, we do have, you know, some of these service providers that specialize maybe in one area or another, but the large percentage of them really are focused on providing IT services to SMBs and mid-sized businesses. And so they, you know, are diversified and spread across the industry. And so with that in mind, you know, I see our business is really just, you know, having a pulse and really representing, you know, this larger economy, because, you know, we are representing these IT service providers and giving them a platform to allow them to service all of these customers. So it's exciting to see the breadth of different businesses that are out there. And, you know, just hearing the stories of how our, you know, customers are helping them even through these tough times, you know, which was a mad rush in March to set everyone up from working from home. I think there's a lot that was going on behind the scenes, a lot of people don't know, to make sure that that happened so that businesses could operate remotely. And that continues to happen, you know, with, you know, what's happening, how do we think about the changes in IT? So for us, it's a very diversified end customer base that we're thinking through. But our direct customer continues to be today the IT service provider managing, you know, IT at scale.
Yeah, and I just, you know, conversationally, I've had friends tell me about kind of the horrors of, you know, going from working 5 days a week in an office to having to figure out, you know, working from home, and just some having a lot of things to say about the support they get from their IT. And it's just, some people struggled with that, it sounds like, just from my own experience. So I wonder if you have an opinion on kind of how this pandemic has affected the way people work and the way that relationship with IT people at their company has changed, maybe, if you've seen that, and if you have any idea of how that's going to look moving forward.
Yeah, it's you know, obviously become, you know, one more degree remote, you know, with what's happening in the short term. Not that it'll, you know, necessarily always be like that. But, you know, we do see that, you know, the, you know, future workplace is, you know, potentially going to be this kind of hybrid type situation where you'll have, there's more of a tendency of businesses considering virtual workforces that are able to work from home. And so what that means is the relationship with, you know, the IT teams is going to be naturally remote in that situation. And so that, you know, that obviously means that the IT service providers who we work with, who are adept at working remotely, are going to do better in that scenario, because this is something that they have, you know, they base their business model on. But the, what it comes down to is that, you know, keeping it still somewhat personal, you know, having some relationships there versus, you know, just putting a ticket in and saying something's, you know, something's broken. I think that's where we see our customers, you know, our partners really differentiate in terms of, you know, driving a service model that strengthens their relationship with their end customers and really, you know, drives a higher service level, especially in this time where maybe patience is a little bit light when you're struggling with something that seems kind of basic and you want it to work. And so this is why, so like it's something that's near and dear to my heart, is that I've been there in, you know, on both sides, but I've been there primarily on, you know, being able to support customers. And I genuinely see these IT teams at the service providers really looking out and trying to enable their customers to do well. And so, you know, that's the one thing I would tell folks who, you know, are hitting struggles, like, you know, these IT teams are working and working very hard to try to do this. And this is why it's so important for us to really, you know, allow these IT teams to operate at 10x, which is what we, you know, we focus on. That's our purpose, is to give them the ability to operate at a level that drives amazing interactions, you know, with those end users. So definitely a lot of change going on. But, you know, I think, you know, we're going to see, you know, past the situation. It's going to be a different world, not dramatically so, but it's going to be this a little bit more remote world where there's going to be more remote interactions, and that's going to be a normal thing.
I wonder, kind of circling back to, I know you mentioned some advice for startups earlier in our conversation, just for tapping into the Houston innovation ecosystem and kind of resources available, but I wonder if you had some advice for startups who are maybe going through the fundraising process at this time, since you have just kind of gotten to the other side of that. So in terms of fundraising, what advice do you have for startups?
Communicate early with, you know, potential investors. I can't say this enough, and that is, you know, having an advisor or set of advisors that help you think through that process, that help you build your network, is so critical. It was for us. So, you know, you're able to reach beyond, you know, your own borders of capabilities. And so what that does is allow you to really build a bridge out and drive awareness, like we talked about earlier, to folks that might be interested in your business. And so that's not always obvious that you can't just go ahead and, you know, quickly just Google it and, you know, find, oh, here are the folks that are going to be interested in investing in our business. So what I would say is, as you communicate, you start to meet more and more folks, and really it helps the founders to, you know, really hone their pitch and really understand how to communicate about the value proposition. So there's valuable learning there, but at the same time, you're also building these bridges that over time are going to help to make it an easy communication process when it comes to the real, you know, fundraising moment when you need to do it. And so, you know, that's what I would say is communicate early, build those relationships, you know, build it through your advisor network. And specifically, if this situation right now continues to, you know, be prolonged, then look at what are the tailwinds, what's important that your business is providing that is especially important in what we're headed into. You know, what are the changes in the landscape that are happening? You know, find those tie-ins. I refer to them as tailwinds. What are those tailwinds that are so important? And that I think will be key, because then you're actually addressing a concern an investor would have, and just, you know, heading it off the path and talking through it actively. And so it shows a level of forethought for the business owner or the founder to be able to think through it from that manner and just, you know, communicate openly about it. So those are two things that I would say are extremely important.
Yeah. And the idea that, you know, you continue these conversations with your investors and maintain that relationship. I know this past round, you had some kind of repeat investors. So it sounds like that's a product of that, maintaining that relationship and keeping everyone informed and communicating properly with them, right?
Yes. Integrated Capital, Urban Capital Network. We, we've got folks that, are also advising us. There's so much of that, you know, we're building on, what we've built. These are building blocks. It's amazing and awesome to get that support from our earliest investors, and they continue to showcase that. And that always helps with the momentum in a subsequent round to show that your current investors are ready to put more money to work and have faith, you know, in the business moving forward. So, yeah, I'm humbled and just ecstatic that, you know, so many folks have supported us. And that's one thing I would say. We talked about, you know, challenges in Houston. I'll tell you from a positive standpoint in Houston, that the community is so supportive of a business succeeding. And that's something that as a founder, you shouldn't be shy to try to access those resources, because there's so much ready and willing help out there to try to support success.
And I wonder, kind of now that you're through this phase of fundraising and you're moving forward to, you know, growing your teams and making strategic hires, what's on your radar as we move through this kind of weird time of COVID-19, some people returning back to work, slowly things reopening? I wonder what you have on your mind, both in light of the current, you know, economic situation, and also just where you are growing your company.
Yeah. So yeah, no doubt, very unique times. So we think about, you know, first, the logistics of the business, and, you know, thinking about our own office space, right? And how we think about that, that's top of mind, because we want to make our workplace and specifically our team happy about, you know, the environment that they're working in, and, you know, how we think about it into 2021 and so on and so forth. So that's something that's important to us. But as we think about, our customers and reaching the market, we think about, how do we do that more virtually? You know, if we are not able to go to conferences, let's say, to meet our prospective customers, how do we do that virtually? And we've become very adept at driving virtual events and webinars, and really thinking through and sharing what it is that we're here to do, and providing thought leadership around how we're helping with IT for these managed service providers. So we think about that. We think about, you know, the changes in the way that we're driving that awareness. And then finally, you know, it's just, you know, really what, how is this impacting our customers? You know, so, you know, how are they going to benefit greater from our platform, from working with LineGuard. How can they navigate their path through this environment as well? And it's, it goes back to that same statement, not being tone deaf to the fact that these are business owners that are also facing challenges, and they're working with their end customers that are facing challenges. So how can we, work with them and help them navigate this, in a sound way and get past it and get back to it, just a steady state or a new way of working. So those are the things that are top of mind to me, and it's top of mind to our teams, and being dynamic. So one of our core values is to adapt, and that's something, and our number one is to listen and learn. So we're doing a lot of listening and learning, and we're doing a lot of adapting right now. So that's a big part of our culture, and it's something that I know in this environment is just all the more and just more important.
Yeah, and that's great context too for, other startups, other B2B startups, that kind of the ability to listen and adapt. That's great. Well, thank you so much for sharing all this, and congratulations on your Series B closing. Very big news for Houston. So thank you for sharing all of that.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome, Natalie. Looking forward to sharing more progress as we make it.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Please consider hitting subscribe, sharing with a friend, or giving us 5 stars. Tune in next week with another episode.